I'll never forget the night many years ago. I was a young boy when my family gathered around the TV, as did people all across this country and all over the world, to witness not just a new TV show or a sporting event or an election result, but something much, much bigger, something that had never happened before in the history of mankind and would forever change the world. It was a night in July of 1969 that Neil Armstrong first stepped out of a lunar spacecraft called the Eagle onto the surface of the moon. And from that night on, we would never see the moon in the same way. From now on, we would say, we have been there. We've got our flag up there. We've even left a bunch of junk up there. We have been to the moon. Every so often, something happens that radically alters human civilization. Epic events in the history of mankind. The invention of the printing press, for example. The invention of the light bulb, the automobile, the atomic bomb, computers, the internet, to name only a few. You also have your own mini epic events in your life, things that affect you and your family in great ways. Maybe that change the direction of your life, getting married, the birth of a child, or on the negative side, the breakup of a marriage or the loss of a loved one. When epic events happen, things that have stayed the same for a long time change. Sometimes suddenly, sometimes gradually from that point on, but usually in ways that you never dreamed possible. Later you look back and you say, that event changed my life. Today, we're learning about an epic event that not only changed world history, but is also a blueprint for an epic event in your life and in the life of our church. We're in part three of our series, Catching Fire. It's a series based in the book of Acts in the New Testament, showing how the early church was empowered to catch fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and spread that flame throughout the empire and eventually throughout the world. The title of today's message is Igniting Your Life. We're learning today about an epic event like no other. You know, empires and nations and civilizations and revolutions, they come and they go. But what happened in Jerusalem 50 days after Jesus arose from the dead was like a spark on a small pile of dried wood that burst into a blaze that has spread like wildfire for 2,000 years all over the world into the biggest, most successful movement of all time. We call it Christianity. And unlike a political revolution or a coup or a hostile takeover of a corporation, this epic event changed ordinary people from the inside out, one person at a time, transforming the way they saw life, the way they believed, the way they behaved, the way they made decisions. This event actually brought the presence and power of God, God the Holy Spirit, into the human heart so that the ordinary believer, people like you, people like me, would experience God at a whole new level and would see his power working in their lives to do mighty deeds in his name and to live as never before. What only super saints of the Old Testament, like Moses and David and Elijah, people like that had experienced, would now be available for every believer, every Christ follower, including you. Would you like to hear more? Would you? All right. Well, get that outline out if you haven't done so already, and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look today at three principles for epic empowerment. Epic empowerment. And it follows in the text we're looking at today. You'll want to fill in the blanks as we go through each point, each of these principles. The first principle for epic empowerment is to prepare the fuel for the fire. Prepare the fuel for the fire. How many of you like a big roaring bonfire? You go camping? Yeah, all right. Or maybe in the wintertime you like to build a fire in your fireplace. I like doing that. But of course, when you start a fire, you need to prepare the fuel so that when the flame strikes the match, it will catch. If you gather a bunch of freshly cut wood that's green, or you gather some waterlogged logs, you're going to have a hard time starting a fire. It needs to be dried out. You need to pile it up in the right way so that the flame gets enough air. You need to be sure that the place is safe for a fire. It's not too near to the bushes or tree limbs or someone's garage or doghouse or outhouse or henhouse or whatever. You yourself cannot burn that wood. Only the fire can do that. But you need to prepare the fuel in optimal conditions for starting the fire. In the same way, we cannot do the miraculous work of God. Only he can do that, obviously. But we're the fuel. The Holy Spirit is the fire, and our part is to prepare ourselves for the flame. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we start with these words, and I ask you to help me out when we come to the yellow print. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, says, on the day of Pentecost, help me, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Meeting together in one place. It was the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. You know, Pentecost was a yearly Jewish festival in which tens of thousands of Jews from all over the nation of Israel and from all over the world would come to celebrate in Jerusalem. And it was all about the grain harvest, and it would usually take place in either May or June. But while all their neighbors were celebrating this feast, we're told that a group of 120 Christ followers were meeting together in one place. Now, why were they doing that? Why one place? You know, Pentecost was a huge holiday. It was a day of great celebration. There would be all kinds of relatives in town. It would be a festive atmosphere. Why weren't these 120 in their homes with their families? Or maybe at the temple celebrating? Why were they meeting together in one place? Well, first of all, it was Sunday. It was Sunday. The day of Pentecost happened on a Sunday. Jesus had been raised from the dead on a Sunday, 49 days earlier. Why were they with their other Jewish family and friends celebrating this Old Testament feast? Well, they had a new identity now. That identity was in Jesus. They were Christ followers. And so they were celebrating his resurrection from the dead. He was the priority now. Now, of course, they were still Jews, and they would still celebrate festivals like Pentecost and Passover and things like that. It wasn't like they had stopped being Jewish, no way. But they had this new identity in Jesus that really transcended everything else. And folks, you do too. We have that identity, and that's why we meet together on Sunday for worship, because he meets with us here. Didn't you sense that when we were singing those worship songs? The Lord meeting with us? That's why we do this. The second thing, the reason why they were meeting is that they were waiting on the Lord. We learned about this last Sunday. The day Jesus rose from the dead began a 40-day period of appearances. And during those 40 days, Jesus appeared many times to his disciples. He was proving to them, he was showing them, beyond a shadow of a doubt to them, that he was really alive, and he was preparing them for their future work. And just before he ascended into heaven, he gave them a command and a promise. Let's look at the command and the promise. We find it in Acts 1, beginning at verse 4. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem," help me, "but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." Verse 5, he says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus says, wait. Wait. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait for what? Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. An epic event in which every one of them would receive God's presence and power to witness. Now, for the next 10 days after Jesus said these things and then ascended into heaven, these 120 Christ followers waited on the Lord in prayer and worship in the temple. And we're told in a large upper room where they all gathered together in Jerusalem. It was a 10-day prayer meeting and worship meeting. And that's where we pick up today. That's where we find them on the day of Pentecost. They are all gathered in the upper room on a Sunday worshiping. You know, all during Jesus' ministry, during those 40 days, during the 10 days after he ascended into heaven, there was prayer, there was worship. The Lord was gathering the wood and drying it out and preparing to strike the match. You know, I believe that God is gathering the wood here at Stony Creek Church. As we learn the Word of God and serve and worship together, he's calling us to assemble together, to confess and to renounce our sins, and to pour out our hearts to him afresh, to serve him with a new heart, with a new fire. We can't burn the fuel. That's his part. Our part is to prepare the wood. If you're waterlogged with sinful behavior or mixed up priorities, you won't catch fire. You will not catch fire. If you're holding on to grudges, or if you're calling the shots in your own life rather than the Lord calling the shots, you will not catch fire. Now is the time for us to prep the fuel. You know, I know it's hard for us sometimes to get here on time on Sunday morning. You've worked hard all week. Maybe for some of you, Sunday is the only day you have to sleep in. But you know, folks, it's really worth it to make worship time here a priority. This is God meeting with us, working in our hearts. Hey, if he arose from the dead, we can arise from the bed, right? Right? Amen. He did it. Just remember that. Pray during the week, folks. And on your way here, for God to prepare your heart for worship. Do your best to get here before the service starts so that you can, you know, get your kids into their little classes and you can come in here and just kind of prepare for the Lord to meet with you. That's kind of preparing the fuel for the flame. And so when the music starts, don't just mouth the words. Sing from your heart, even if you're hurting. You know, sometimes you may come here on a Sunday and you just don't feel like worshiping. That happens. That happens to all of us. Maybe you had a really tough week, but you can still cry out to the Lord. You can still pour out your heart to Him. And, you know, when the service is over, don't feel you need to rush out. Allow God's presence to soak into your heart so that it gets down there and penetrates into the nooks and crannies. Always feel free to come down here and to pour out your heart before the Lord in prayer, or just in your seat. Folks, it's not just a one-time thing here or there. We need to get into the habit of doing this so that our church is a church that's pouring out our heart to the Lord. The first principle of epic empowerment is to prep the fuel for the flame. The second principle for epic empowerment, number two on your outline, is expect God to ignite you. Now, I want to issue a little warning here. What you are about to hear, what you are about to read up on the screen, may radically alter your life. It's true. And so now is your chance, if you don't want to risk that, to step out. Okay? Anybody? I'll wait. No? Okay. Fair warning. Gave you fair warning. Let's go. Acts chapter 2. Beginning at verse 2, it says, "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them." Help me out. "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages.'" Folks, this was like Neil Armstrong taking his first step on the moon, only much greater. It was epic. This is a birthday of the church of Jesus Christ. From now on, all believers in Jesus, not just the super saints, not just the pastor, the evangelist, or the prophet, or whatever, would become houses of the holy. All believers. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And folks, God does this stuff when He shows up. Now, maybe you're wondering, well, what does this mean? What is this about? It sounds kind of weird. It sounds kind of spooky. Well, let's look at it part by part. First, we have this sound of mighty wind. Whoa, are we getting it here? What is this signal? Well, this signals the working of the Holy Spirit. How so? Well, a powerful wind, of course, is invisible, and yet you see its effects, don't you? It's capable of mighty things. It can blow a big ship across a whole ocean, or it can blow away a whole city in a destructive way. And so this is like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows up. You don't see him, but you see the effects. Secondly, we have these flaming tongues. And this, in the context of what's going on here, is this ability to witness in the name of the Lord. What's so awesome here is that each one of the believers experienced this supernatural phenomenon, not just the leaders. Now, it's helpful to understand that on the day of Pentecost, the Jews commemorated the giving of the law when God appeared to Moses and to the Israelites on Mount Sinai 1,500 years before. Pentecost celebrated that event. It was on everybody's mind. Everybody was thinking about that great, extraordinary event, those special effects that God showed at Mount Sinai when the fire came down onto the mountain. Everybody was thinking about that. But now, in this particular scene, it's sort of like the democratized version of that, because the fire doesn't just come down in one place. It doesn't just come down on a mountain. It comes down on all believers. So God is stepping up his game here. And then we have this thing about many different languages that are spoken and are understood by this big crowd that gathers. And of course, this is talking about the reaching of nations. This was the birth of a global movement that would eventually spread to all nations and peoples and races and ethnic backgrounds and cultures, bringing people together under the banner of Jesus Christ as Lord. No outcasts, no discrimination, no white or black supremacy or any kind of supremacy, but all nations together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Now, folks, the point here is not that all believers need to speak in tongues any more than all believers need to hear a mighty rushing wind or have tongues of fire come down on their heads. The point of the wind and the fire and the tongues and the languages is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is now for every believer worldwide, giving us the power to burn. Look what Peter later says to the big crowd. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Well, he can't make it any plainer. Hello, newsflash. If you're a Christ follower, this promise is for you. It is for you. The Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you something else here, folks. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have put your trust in him as your personal Lord and Savior. Do you know that he's already in you right now? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you realize this? God's power, his presence is in you. This means that you can and you should expect God to ignite your life with his supernatural power. The same power that they experienced back then, God is already working here at Stony Creek Church. Think of what else he might do if we stepped up our expectation of him to use us. You know, Jesus started with just 12 guys. And then on the day of Pentecost, 3 years later, there were 120. It only takes a tiny little match to start a huge forest fire, folks. Don't worry about size or numbers. I don't know what God has in store for us here at Stony, at least specifically, but let's not box him in. Whether it's 10 or 10,000, our part is to prepare the wood and expect God to flick his lighter, right? Start the flame. We can't answer our prayers, but we can pray. That's our part. We can't heal sick bodies, but we can ask, and God can heal, folks. He can heal. We can't ensure that a child will not go astray, but we can give our best in the strength that God gives us to make our children's program, our Awana, the safest, the cleanest, the funnest, the most biblical and Christ-centered that it can be. You know, Jody Slongo, she's on a retreat this weekend, but she's our children's director. She's looking for some more volunteers. Maybe this is God's call to you to sign up and get involved in that ministry. It's very crucial, very, very crucial, and great things are happening in our children's ministry. Let's prepare the wood so that when God flicks his lighter, it bursts into flame. We can't draw people to Christ. I don't have the power to do that. You don't either, but that's the Holy Spirit's job. But we can work to make this place as seeker-friendly as it can be. We can contribute to efforts to remodel this place. We can invite our friends. We can use social media each week to promote what's going on here. We can be warm and inviting and loving to new people who walk in the door. You can't save a person from hell. Only God can do that. But you can share your testimony. You can give the gospel message to your friends, to your co-workers. You got to open your mouth, you know. Holy Spirit is not going to pry your jaws open. You got to do that. He's put that in your hands. But he has promised to help you, to strengthen you, to give you the ability when you step out in faith. You know, you can't break that addiction. But the Holy Spirit can give you the power to do that. You can surrender yourself to the Lord. You can seek out help and an accountability partner. You can't do God's part. But guess what? He won't do your part. Prepare the wood and then expect God to ignite it. I see the Holy Spirit already working here in many ways, many ways. The Bernards have that small group going on there, that outreach group that's ministering to all kinds of people and reaching them for Christ. Look at Tom Hanks there. That's Stony Creek Church right there, man. All right? We're going to build, I like that movie, Castaway. It's a good one. And it's perfect for what we're talking about here today. I think of the things that are happening with the Stony Cafe on Wednesday nights and Awana and the Woman's Bible Study and the men's group and the praise band. They did that powerful praise concert the other night. Oh, that was so great. You know, God is only beginning to just flick his lighter here at Stony Creek Church. Our job is to prepare the wood for the flame and expect God to ignite us. We need to expect him to do this. to use us in new and unexpected ways. We need to pray for this, folks. We need to yearn for it. We need to ask for it. We need to prep our minds for it, prep our emotions for it, prep our calendars for it. Clear it. Be ready for what God may do amongst us at Stony Creek Church and in your life. Like the disciples, we need to trust His promise, and we need to expect it to happen, right? Let's look at the third principle for epic empowerment. Obey while leaving the combustion to God. Obedience. Oh, so key. When we prepare and expect God to work, God does the rest. That's what happened on that first day of Pentecost. The disciples prepared the wood. They expected the Holy Spirit to show up, and He did. He supplied the mighty wind. He supplied the fire. He supplied the languages. Everyone had a part. Look at it. Peter's part. Peter preached a message that day. Jesus had said, you know what? You guys are going to be my witnesses. And we're told that when that big crowd gathered, Peter stood up along with the other disciples. They had a part in it too, and began to preach this message. That crowd had gathered, and they had heard those different languages. So Peter began to explain, you know, this was prophesied in the Old Testament, and God has poured out His Spirit here upon us. Then Peter proclaimed the good news that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Peter did his part. And then the crowd had their part to do. They repented and got baptized. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. We pick up in verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They did. And do you know that 3,000 people got saved that day and got baptized that day, became Christ followers that day? The church went from 120 to 3,000 in one day. And then there was the church's part. The church, we're told, began with that day to meet regularly for worship and teaching, and they began sharing their possessions with the needy. They didn't create the fire, folks. They just prepared the wood. They didn't create the wind, but they built a sail. And when the wind came, they sailed the boat that God powered them to sail in. Look at Acts 2, beginning at verse 45. It says, they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see how it worked together hand in hand? They did their part, and then God did His part. He added to their number daily those who were being saved. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you want to remember, if you forget everything else I say, and hope you're taking notes, because you will want to write it down. It goes like this. Do your part while expecting God to do His. The same Holy Spirit is here today, folks, in every Christ follower. What's your part today? Let's look at just a couple few things here in closing. First of all, repent! Repent! Like the crowd, maybe you've never turned to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. and become his follower. Well, your part today is to do that, to say, today I'm crossing over. Today I am stepping over the line. Today I am taking Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I'm becoming his Christ follower. If you want to do that, come on down here and we'll help you talk through it and pray through it. Oh, today's a birthday for you. Second thing, be baptized. Be baptized. Are you a Christ follower who hasn't yet been baptized? Oh. You need to be. Baptism is your part if that's the case. Have you been dunked underwater since you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Guess what? We have a baptism coming up on April 27th of this year. So why not get out your response card and put on there, I want to get baptized, and put your name and contact information. And let's get you baptized. That's what Scripture said to do. Next thing, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something we need to do. Are you lacking God's power in your life? Well, you need to prepare the wood and expect God to work in your life. Maybe you're waterlogged with bad attitudes or sinful habits or mixed up priorities. Maybe your busy schedule has squeezed the Word of God out of your life and prayer out of your life and ministry out of your life. You need to turn around so He can get a hold of you, and you're waterlogged. You need to take a leak. You do. Yeah. Okay, not in public.
All right.
We do have restrooms. I'm going to be in trouble. What I'm getting at is to dry out the wood, okay? Dry out the wood. That's very, very important. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you say, well, what is that? You know what it's like for somebody to be filled with themselves? Oh, he's full of himself. That means it's all about him. It's all what he's doing. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be all about him. The Lord, you see, when he fills you, don't be full of yourself, be full of the Holy Spirit, all right? Next, join the church. Join the church, all right? The Christ followers in Acts 2 were a tight team. They were committed to one another. Have you committed yourself to Stony Creek Church? Or are you just endlessly playing the field? God will do nothing great in your life until you commit to his people. Take our Explore class. That's starting April 23rd. It's a Wednesday. Come on out and take the class. Do your part. God will do his. Finally, serve people. Serve people. The believers in Acts 2 were constantly serving one another, especially the needy among them. We have ways of doing that here at Stony. We need to do more, and we will do more. And it's all part of becoming a ministry partner on a ministry team. Do you have a ministry where you're committed, you're on a schedule, you're doing something here at the church? If not, talk to somebody who's on a team and get plugged in. Now, maybe you've done these things or you're doing them. I'm asking you to raise your expectations here today. Let's expect God to act among us as never before. Step up your prayers on this. Pour out your heart before the Lord, asking Him to fill you and to fill us all as a church in Stony Creek Church with His presence and power. Let's do this together. Let's not just pray for rain, folks. Let's grab our umbrellas, okay? All right? Let's conclude our service. I know we've got our delicious cakes back there and the subs and all that kind of stuff. Great things happening today. Let's conclude our service. We're going to have our offering now. Our musicians are going to come forward and the ushers. Let's prepare our hearts for this. Lord God, do business in our lives here today, Lord. We've heard this message, but we still need to put it into practice. For each of us, me included, every person here, Lord, let us do our part to really be ready, available to you and expecting you to work, and obedient when you prompt us. Help us to do that, Father. I pray for any person who hasn't trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, that person would say, today's the day for me. or that person who needs to get baptized, or that person who needs to join the church, I pray that you'd prompt that person to action today. And Lord, we thank you for these things that you have blessed us with. May we give them to you as acts of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.